And the people of God said, Amen. Thank you, choir, for the wonderful, inspiring song. T.M. Luhrmann, the professor of anthropology at Stanford University, wrote an op-ed piece in New York Times last Sunday saying that people who go to church every Sunday are healthier because they have low blood pressure, you wish, she said so. Not only that, you have increased immune system and you'll have 2 or 3 years added to your life. Isn't that amazing? She proved it scientifically. Of course, the reason is because you have a support system in the church, because you are able, when you come to church, to become better people. Not only that, you have a power to imagine a God who is good in the world. But then on the other hand, there was a study done last year by the Barna Group, a Christian organization, and he says that 75% of people who come to church thinks church going doesn't really mean that much, is not that important, even though they come to church. 75% people said that. So, where do we stand? Does coming to church mean something to you? Have you become a better person because you've come to church last year? And has our world become a better place because we've been here? Jesus told parables throughout his ministry because he wanted to change people's imagination. See, parables are not fables like Aesop's fables with a moral attached to them. Parables more are like a room you are invited to come in. When you enter the room, you have different windows that you can look out into the world. And so Jesus tells us this parable about the nets. A fisherman who put down the nets into the water, and in the nets come all kinds of fish, and he drags it in into the boat. And then he separates it into good and bad. But then Jesus also said in the following verses that that separation takes place at the end of the ages. Parables tell us something about who God is and who we are. This parable, the nets, deals with this ancient image of God as the judge. You might say the Terminator, God who is judgmental, God who is stingy with forgiveness, God who wants people to be by the book. And the people who believe in this God wants to act just the same way. We want to be judgmental, we are critical, we want to tell people you gotta live this way, and we're not so forgiving. But in Jesus' parable, every single parable imagines a God who is totally the opposite, a God who is more than willing and wanting to forgive, even before people say, I'm sorry. A God who is not willing to judge, to punish. In fact, he's always postponing this punishment till the end. This God who seems to be extravagant, wasteful with his love, loving when people are not willing to love in return. I wonder why we are so entertained by stories about heaven and hell. And maybe it's because we want to act like this Terminator God. We want to throw some people in hell, don't we? Yes, we do. There are some people we think belongs not with us. Of course, lawyers and politicians and clergy usually are part of these jokes. And so here's a joke about a lawyer and a clergy. A young Christian couple were on their way to church to get married, but they were in a fatal accident. So they found themselves in front of the pearly gates, and there was St. Peter waiting. So this young couple asks Peter, "Can we get married in heaven?" And St. Peter said, "Well, nobody's ever asked me that question. Let me go in and find out." They waited by the gate for 2 months. And finally, St. Peter returned very exhausted and said, "Yes, you can get married in heaven." Wonderful, the couple said, "Well, but we have another question. What if things don't work out? Can we get divorced in heaven?" And St. Peter looked at him and said, "You guys are troublemakers, aren't you? It took me 2 whole months to look for a pastor here. Now you want me to look for a lawyer?" Now, before you're ready to throw me down there with that group. Yes, we do like to think about what would the world be like if we can get rid of certain kinds of people. But Jesus says that's not the way it works. And so I have a new name for God. Our God's name is Finders Keepers. Now, of course, there's another phrase that comes after that, right? Losers Weepers, we say, the children's game. Our God is a finder's keeper kind of a God. But he also covers the other part. He does weep with the losers, people who've lost things, people who feel they're lost, people who feel like they've been left out. Those God finds and God keeps. So we wonder, how would God improve the world if you keep both everything that you find? Shouldn't God have like a reverse button? You know, a lot of conservative Christians talk about the rapture. What if God has a reverse rapture button? He just pushes a button and voila, all the bad people disappear. How would that be? Why doesn't God rule the world that way? Wouldn't our world be different if there had been no Hitlers, no John Wilkes Booth, no crusades? Why doesn't God work like that? Why can't he clean up the world once in a while and just separate out the good and the bad? It is very easy to judge others, isn't it? But the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the judge, Jesus is the jury, and Jesus is the one who's judged in our place. He took our place and was willing to be judged for us. Jesus says, instead, leave the judging to God. Let God take care of that at the end. For you, I want you to be like this God who is a finder's keeper. Go and find people who are lost and keep them like our God does. Many surveys show that people don't like people who go to church, unfortunately, because they say, we are too critical, we are hypocritical, that we say one thing, but we don't live it out in our lives. Jesus' story, though, tells us that church is a place where there's a mix of people, good and bad. In fact, we ourselves are a mix of people, aren't we? How many of us here would raise our hands and say, I'm perfect already? Let me see it. Let me see all the hands. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church, said that the identity of Christians is simultaneously a sinner and a saint. If each of us had an identification card, you would say, sinner on one side and saint on the other. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, had a word for that, sanctification. He says, we Christians, we Methodists are people who are on the way, in the process of being changed, becoming better, becoming perfected in our love. But if we are willing to judge each other now, right now, all of us have to be honest and say, I am both a sinner and a saint. So we are glad that our God is a finder's keeper, not a God who in real time is judging us. He leaves that till the end. Our God is working in our world and has been at work in our midst. Think about the United States of America last 50 years. What has changed? Have you noticed any change? One thing has been that many of the lost people of our nation have been found. God keeps finding people, hasn't He? People of color, women, gays and lesbians, handicapped people, people who are left out of full participation in our society have been found. And that's been only the last 50 years. That's an improvement. That's a change. That's growing in grace. That's understanding what God's love is all about. Problem is, while God says, I will judge on the last day, many religious people think it's their job to judge people today, forgetting that our God today is like the big net, containing both the good and bad, finding and keeping all He finds. And aren't we glad that God has kept us, found us when we were lost? In the Old Testament, the 23rd Psalm said the same thing about God, who kept seeking, who keeps finding, who holds on to everything He finds. But sometimes, though, we say the 23rd Psalm and we don't get the depth of the meaning of what it says. So I often do what I call the reverse reading of a Bible verse. Read the opposite of it. And here is a version that I came up with. With none to lead me, I'm in constant need. Wandering in gray wastelands, I find only garbage-filled creeks with polluted water. With none to trust, I flee from the world, barely able to catch my breath. When I pass by death's door, desperate dread devours me, for evil strikes me at every turn, with none to protect me. Envious enemies encircle me everywhere I go, emaciating my body and soul. My heavy head hangs low, my hands clasping a cracked cup. No doubt evil and hostility will dog me throughout my life, leaving me no place to call home on this earth. What kind of an unkind world is that when we have no hope, when God is not our shepherd? What a hopeless world this would be if God were not a finder's keeper, keeping each one of us in His palms. So Jesus tells us this parable to tell us, relax. God is at work in the world. God is at work in the church. God is at work in us. God has not abandoned the world. He's only awakening us to see the world from His perspective, from the where He sits. Because this world is filled with possibilities. This world is filled with people who are learning to love, who are learning to open their hearts to each other. What God needs are people who know that they are imperfect, who know that they are being changed by this merciful God, and who are willing to remain vulnerable with others, becoming changed so that we become the sign of God's love in the world. So what can we do this week? First, I invite you to know this God who is a finder's keeper. If you think of God as this terminating judge, Think again. Fill your minds with this good shepherd who is out looking for us. There's a wonderful story told by Madeline Lengel, who is a children's writer. She says she heard this story from one of her pastors at St. John the Divine. Canon Edward West was at a house party in England, and the party was done. All the guests had to either tell a story, sing a song, or lead a game. Well, in that party, the great English actor Charles Laughton was there. Charles Laughton, for those of you who might not know, played the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He was in the Mutiny on the Bounty. He also was a director of many films, even in Hollywood. Well, Mr. Laughton stood up, and he recited the 23rd Psalm wonderfully. And people clapped, and they told him that it was a great performance. Later on, as evening was drawing near, there was an old great aunt of the house sitting in the corner, and she had nodded off. So they asked her, please say something or recite something. So this old lady stood up, and in her own way, she began to recite the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." When she was done, the room became very quiet. There are some ladies who were wiping their eyes. Someone asked Mr. Laughton after the party was over, "Mr. Laughton, we loved your recitation of the psalm. It was great. But what happened when the old lady said the 23rd Psalm? We were moved and touched." And Mr. Laughton, the famous actor, replied, "Well, I know the psalms, but she knew the shepherd." God is asking us to know the great shepherd, and God is here to be part of our life. Secondly, let us not forget that we are in the business of seeking, looking, finding, keeping all those who feel lost by themselves or society who's lost them or rejected them or they've slipped through the cracks. God invites us to love all those so that our church can become the place, a sign of God's love in the world for all times. So Professor Luhrmann is right. Coming to church is a healthy thing. It does make us into good people. She's also right that coming to church improves our imagination. But what she forgets is that when our imagination is touched, we become changed. And we've seen how God changes the world through us. And today, God invites us to become people who will continue to be changed, to be transformed, so that through us, the world can be a different place, especially for those who find themselves lost. Thanks be to God for this good news that has come through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. As we go to God in prayer, perhaps some of us feel lost. I invite us to hear and listen to the great shepherd who is calling us, who says that he will chase after us with mercy and goodness. So pray together with me. Oh God, we thank you for netting us, for capturing us, for holding us, and never letting us go. Thank you for finding us when we were lost. Now be with each one here who wants to be found and wants to follow you. Grant us the courage to see the world and ourselves in a new way so that a new world can be born right before our eyes. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.